Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. So many things to pay attention to nowadays. Are you the audience? Are you the spectators? Hey, you know the difference between a spectator and an audience? Doesn't that make sense? Audience, audio, hear. Spectator, see. A spectator watches things. An audience hears things. You know, you go to a show and you have spectators if they're watching. Audience if they're listening. Well, you're the audience. You are listening to this program. And you're using these very sensitive organs that you have called your ears. Listen to this. Recently, I ran into a case of PSAS. PSAS, persistent sexual arousal syndrome, which couldn't be diagnosed. Nobody could figure out why this person was always constantly, suddenly aroused. And they found out that there was a neurological condition in their outer ear. And the outer ear has so many nerve endings in it that if this neurological condition exists, that the ear gets stimulated. Now, did you get stimulated in your ear and it arouses you? Well, this person, without knowing it, had the stimulation all the time and walked around with persistent sexual arousal syndrome until they could locate the problem in the ear. Now, the funny thing about the human ear is that there are hints in the folds of the ears that tell you about your heart conditions. There are things, there's information. We never pay attention to the ear. Things about the lobe, yes. So the ear, oral, A-U-R-A-L instead of O-R-A-L, is a very important part of the human body. And if it not for your ear, my friends, I would not be in your life. Today I want to talk about listening. There's a lot I have to say about listening, and there's a lot I'd like to ask you about listening. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, bringing you these ideas to kind of, you know, let your mind run around a little bit. Are you a listener? Are you somebody who likes to listen to people? Or do you like to listen to radio, but you don't like to listen to people? Listening to people, there are different kinds of people. Some people are dedicated listeners, avid listeners. They listen. They want to hear everything a person has to say. Some people are sometimes avid listeners because they want to listen to what a person has to say because they get something by listening. Other people are so much in love with someone else. You know, sometimes when you're in love with someone, you listen to them. And you want to hear every word they have to say, because sometimes if you're in love with somebody, you just leave them you love watching their lips move. You know, you're in love, and anything they have to say, you value. That's at the beginning. Past the honeymoon. As soon as those words start turning into things that are not so comfortable, like your fault, deficiencies, or problems, many people don't want to listen anymore. Do you find anybody ignoring you? Do you find that your children don't like to listen to you? You know, here's the great phrase that mothers say, "Why aren't you listening to me?" You don't have to ask. Because you're not saying anything that's valuable, that they want to hear. You don't get anything out of hearing what you have to say. So if a person doesn't listen to you, you most probably have little to say that's of value to that person. Now, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you, because you may have picked somebody who doesn't care about anybody but themselves. Very often, they only want to talk about themselves. They only want to be listened to. Segue for a moment, a little side. What do you think it's like to work in a nail salon? What do you think it's like to come from another country, Vietnam, come to America, sit in a nail salon, and do somebody's feet, and wash their feet, and clean their feet, and shave their feet, and do their nails? And then have them talk to you, and you have a trained number of words that you've learned in English, but it's just a certain number of words, but they talk to you incessantly. Sometimes they talk to you. And the customers talk to you, and we've learned that part of the reason people go to nail salons and talk to people is because the combination of having their fingertips touched and the fact that they could verbalize uninterruptedly releases serotonin, therefore making a person who gets this thing done feel calmer. No wonder when you walk out, your nails look beautiful. The world looks beautiful because you got this flood of serotonin going through your head when you get your nails done. But did the person understand a word you said? Not necessarily. In fact, do they even like you? There's a question for you, huh? In fact, do they hate you? There's another question. Can you imagine somebody's doing your nails and hates you just because you are who you are, because you've got the money, because you act in a certain way as if you're entitled, but they serve you anyway? You get that often in restaurants, you know, waiters. Waiters can very often serve you, and they just hate serving you. They hate the whole position of it. But they listen to you, and they smile. There are many professions where a person is asked to be an apparent listener. There are jobs. You have, you know, there's a thing called customer service. What a joke that is. But customer service is, we listen to you, or make believe we listen to you, and we want you to believe we are paying attention to your very request and everything you have to say. That is active customer service. And as a result of that, I'm not going to do anything different than I would have done for anybody else, but I'm going to make you believe that you were heard. This way you won't get angry at us, and you will continue to use or buy our product. That's a good job, huh? Do you ever try to call a credit card company and talk about a credit injustice, right? And then that person on the other side of the phone is so good and so good. Or call an airline, right? And that person is so nice to you and so good to you. They're trained, you know. I remember once I went down to Walt Disney World. And I was down in Disney World and everybody was in such a good mood. And I grabbed somebody on the side and I said, why is everybody smiling so much? He said, because the minute you don't smile, you get fired. You must smile at everything. He said, they will take you in the room, you'll be gone by tomorrow. Now, I don't know if that's really true, but it looked it. Everybody was happy. Are you a professional listener? You know, therapists listen, psychotherapists listen, but I don't know. I think most of my profession is curious, unless they're jaded. Unless you're a psychiatrist, you know, you're giving out medication, or you're working for HMOs and you're just trying to get as much out of Medicare as you can and you don't really care about people. There are people who do that for a living. They call themselves therapists, but they're really licensed social workers, psychiatrists, they're just making a buck. It's like filling the rooms, you know. I went to a place one time where they were doing hand surgery and they had 6 rooms filled with people who were doing hand investigations, but they happened to be open rooms. So as I was sitting having somebody look at a sprain in my hand, I was waiting for him to come in and talk to me, but as he was talking to me, I heard the other doctors talking to the other people they were consulting, and they all said the same thing. Well, this is the kind of thing that we could easily correct with surgery. It's a very simple surgery, and they would talk about the hand surgery that they were proposing and how simple it was. 6 different people were saying the very same thing to 6 different people. If there was an alternative, they didn't have any other thing. They were making a living on procedures. It's called procedures, where you do hand procedures. So everybody was getting the same treatment, but because they didn't have doors, they had open doors, you know, you could hear everybody getting the very same thing. And when he came in to talk to me, it's exactly what he told me. I need surgery. I remember calling Verizon. I remember calling Ninex. Remember Ninex? You call them and try to deal with them on the phone. Professional listeners. So now here's a question. There are a lot of people out there who are listening, but not listening. There are people who want to take advantage of you, who are listening just so they could take advantage. Now listen to the different kinds of listeners, many kinds of listeners. There's one kind of listener who listens. You must have this with your friends. You have a person who listens to you, and as you're talking, they are only waiting for the moment that they could jump in. right? You're saying something, and you're saying, you know, I want to tell you about the time that I went to the store, and I found a nickel on the floor. And they say, yep, I found a nickel on the floor, and then I found a dime on the floor, and I remember a time when I was in Paris, and I did that, and they go off and tell you a story. They look for anchors. In other words, they're not concerned about your experience. They're concerned about relating something about themselves. It is just about them. Or there are people who listen, and I'm going to talk much more about this kind of person, who listen for inaccuracies. If you say something inaccurate, they want to jump to clarify it with you. They want to tell you that that's inaccurate, this is no good. And they're there mainly that if you talk, they want to criticize or advise you. Now, there are other people who listen. They believe their job in life is if you talk about anything, they have to solve it. So their job is to advise you right away. And so no matter what you say to them, I'm feeling bad. They say, why don't you eat? You know, I'm feeling depressed because my mother just died yesterday. Why don't you take some pills? Just advice. It's almost like they don't want to hear you. It's important to have the kind of love relationship in your life where a person wants to hear you. It's important to have the kind of love relationship in your life where you want to hear the other person. It doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It is just important that somebody wants to listen. It makes you feel like you belong here. That's why people get pets, you know. You know, you talk to Athena. You say to your cat, you know, well, I will yubi, 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 however you talk to your cat. And then you talk to your dog, and they look at you with those eyes. And you know they're great listeners. They don't understand your language. Do you understand that? They don't know what you're saying. No, no, no. You don't believe that, right? No, you believe they understand. Absolutely. You tell them how you're feeling today. They understand. They're a little compassionate. You know, they... And we want to be understood. Where does that all come from? You know, obviously when we were kids, we wanted to be listened to. We did, but then we didn't. At first, we wanted to be listened to by parents who would be loving. What does a loving parent do? They listen. They embrace. They may even reframe for you. They may help you understand yourself. But they are there compassionately listening. So if you go running to your mother and said, Ma, Johnny just got this brand new red wagon and I hate him. I want to kill him for having the red wagon because my girl, the girl Linda down the block, wanted to ride on his red wagon and she didn't want to come on my dirty old wagon. Will you get me a new wagon? I feel so mad. All right, now here you are and you've got a kid who brings this to you. And you listen. You listen and you understand, and there's a way of hearing it where you don't have to answer the question and say, I'll get you a new wagon, I won't get you a new wagon, why don't I get you something else, why don't you buy Linda a drink or something. You don't have to advise, you don't have to do anything else. You just have to be able to hear the child and say, oh my God, you sound so frustrated, I really understand. What a terrible thing, he's got this red wagon and Linda wanted to go with him because of the red wagon. That must hurt you so much. I'm sorry, son. Hey, quite a mom. Nope, not what moms do. They don't do that. It doesn't matter, oh, Linda, it's only a wagon. Who cares about Linda anyway? And go do your homework, right? And did you clean up your room? So after a while, children do not want to be listened to. Because also what happens to children is inaccuracies. A child tells you a story, and very often children lie to get their way, and it's a natural course of things. You know, so a child says, you know, the dog ate the homework and I was ready to go to school, and you'll find the inaccuracies. And if you talk to an adult can see through your lies, and they catch you. And when they catch you, they punish you. So you don't want to even say anything. You want to try to get away with as many words, as few words as possible. People who are not comfortable talking to their parents are not comfortable talking to other people. You got to learn how to talk. You got to learn how to listen, actually. A loving parent is a listening parent, a parent who wants to hear. It is such curiosity. When your child is a baby, aren't you curious? They're 1 month old. You want to... I wonder what their experience like is like. And you get curious, and you watch them go gaga, goo-goo, and you say, oh, that's really wonderful, and you're curious, and you're curious, and you're curious, until they start talking. And then you tell them what to say and what not to say, and you do this ridiculous thing. Say thank you. That's always a good thing to tell your children, right? Say thank you. Now, did you say thank you? Say thank you. Teach your child to say thank you. And the child has no idea why they're saying thank you, so they say thank you anyway. Grandma just bought you a pair of socks for Christmas. Thank you, Grandma. Who cares? Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. So the listening skill. Don't blame your boyfriend if he doesn't listen to you. Your boyfriend doesn't listen because every time he ever listens, he pays dues. He has to fix something, solve something, do something. He thinks. Because that's what boys do. Boys generally grow up with a non-listening device. They turn off their listening device. They are there. They're supposed to be, you know, biologically, they're supposed to be on the hunt. They're supposed to not get distracted. They don't get distracted by emotion. So boys have this kind of chemical non-listening device. But then they get faulted because the women... or the other boys who want to be with them, they want to be with somebody, you know, sexually they have drives, because boys have drives, and the conditions are, you can have me if you listen. So now this new thing comes in, I have to make believe I'm listening. Or I have to listen, but I don't know what I'm supposed to listen to. I have to listen to your feelings. But I have to do something about it? No, I don't have to do something about it. I have to respond appropriately. If I listen long enough, are you going to be turned on? Can we then have sex? Right? I mean, that's a lot of the reason why people listen. But then there are people who can't listen. Self-centered people. People who are in their own world, who are manic. Or who are people who are self-centered, sometimes schizoid, withdrawn. The very... deep kind of person who's the five in the Enneagram, who's just, you know, they're in their own world. They don't have room for anybody else. They only have room for their own survival. And everything is about their survival. They don't want to hear anybody else. So the withdrawn person very often doesn't want to hear your world. The manic person doesn't want to hear your world. The psychopath, the one who doesn't have any feelings of remorse or guilt, they want to hear what you have to say so they could exploit it. They want to hear various sensitivities. You know, they talk about men and women going out on dates, and women very often complain, he talked the entire time. Well, how could he talk the entire time? Why didn't you shut him up? What happened? How do you mean he talked the entire time about himself? Why didn't you stop him and say, I notice you're talking the entire time about yourself. Do you want to know anything about me? No, we like people to do that so they could hang themselves. We like people, we give them all this rope with their nervousness to keep talking and talking and talking, and then we fault them for talking. We do the same thing with women. They talk endlessly, but we don't stop them and say, listen, I'm not paying attention to you because you're just talking so long and I don't feel a connection with you. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. I've got to find out something from all of you about talking. But let me tell you something about what I call the abstract sequential thinker. There is one form of thinking. It's a form of thinking. It's one quarter of the world. Believe me, 25% of the people in the world. Usually the people who are the most indecisive. Usually the people who are the most intellectually based. In other words, the thinkers rather than the feelers or... the impulse-driven people, they think with a kind of tree-like thinking. Tree-like meaning when they think of one thing, they think of an offshoot right away. and say, I'm going to go to the store. Which store will I go to? I think I'll go to Barney's, but I won't go to Barney's on uptown. I'll go to Barney's downtown. I think I'll wear my sneakers, but I'll wear my red sneakers or my blue sneakers. I'm not sure which. And they're always tossed between two things. That's abstract sequential thinkers. Whenever you meet anybody who talks like that, the experience with them is they are talking endlessly. And you'll hear the phrase, she's a talker. He's a talker. The problem is they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And then they don't go anywhere with their talk. It just doesn't stop and you get tired of it. If you ever hang out with people down in Florida, which I've done recently, you find a lot of people in their later years develop this abstract sequential thinking because they love having an audience, but that's not the only reason. You see, their mind and they're forgetting things. So anything they could get that would be a tag that they could attach their mind to, they want to relate to you. So they'll say to you, you know, and I went there and my brother had his sister come over, and his sister had a girlfriend named Tony who went to school in Cornell up in New York State, where I used to play ball when I was 14 years old before they changed the ball into the big balls and they had the little balls, which we used to play with. We played stickball, but they don't make those stickballs anymore because, and you're in one of those conversations and you're waiting wherever you're trying to keep track. That's a person who's beginning to lose the faculties of their memories. So they're attaching their memories to little signal spots, and they're just relating them to you, and they need to talk this way. And when they get around and they talk to each other, you can see their eyes drift off as one person is talking or another. Well, abstract sequential thinkers, younger ones, who are not losing their faculties very frequently do that. And you'll notice that you can't listen anymore. They drive you crazy. So they talk and talk and talk, and you tune out. So as you can see, listening is kind of fascinating. You know, it's like, how do you love somebody? Well, one quarter of the people in the world are abstract sequential thinkers and talk that way. And, one quarter of the world loves them. So you fall in love with somebody who talks like that, but you don't listen to him because he can't listen to him because they never make their point. There's another kind of person called a random talker. They just talk completely randomly. It isn't a link of one thing to another, to another, to another. It's like they say something and it jumps so quickly and it's unrelated and you don't know how it got there. And it was like you get crazy trying to follow them. Usually hysterical people, very anxious people talk like that. But you listen for the important thing, the main thing, my friends. If you're with somebody who is talking, who is not making contact with you, let me make a suggestion. Make physical contact with them. Touch their arm, touch their person, look at them. And if you're not listening, if you tune out, stop them. Stop them and beg them. Say, please, my friend, I know you have a great deal to say. But I miss you. You're talking and I can't follow you anymore. They know you can't follow them. Would you please slow it down? In fact, would you slow it down so maybe you could even see that I'm here? Because I'm getting lonely just listening. Anything you could do so that a person could, in a way, attend to you and you could help them get off that. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. There are many courses on effective listening. And the amazing thing about these courses is they say good listeners listen with their faces. The first skill that you practice to be a good listener is to act like a good listener. Well, now I have to go back to the Carnegie method. You know what I mean? The idea of how to win friends and influence people, and that whole idea is look like you're listening. Look like you're paying attention because people want to talk. And it says if you want to be a success in business, look like you're listening to what people have to say. So there are these courses that give you listening skills, that make you have skills, that make you look like you're listening, and it really helps you listen a little bit. Like it tells you if you lose attention and you're not paying attention, shift your body. Change your own body position if you lose track of what the person is saying. But the truth of it is, if you wanted to hear what the person had to say, you would listen. You don't need skills. Here are some of the things they teach you to remember. If you're really listening intently, you should feel tired after someone has spoken. Isn't that interesting? Because listening is an active rather than a passive activity. Are you actively listening? Or are you passively listening? Is your ear somewhere off in left field and not really, and getting tired? You know, but if you actively listen, it does take energy. When you find yourself drifting away during a listening session, change your body position. Concentrate on using one of these skills. Once one of the skills is being used, the other active skills will come into place as well. Your body position defines whether or not you will have a chance of being a good listener or a good deflector. Good listeners are like poor boxers. They lead with their faces. A good listener is right in your face and they're listening to you all the time. It's a beautiful thing. Now, meaning cannot be transmitted as a tangible substance by a speaker. It also has to be stimulated or aroused. The receiver has to be an active participant in order for the listening event to have meaning. You cannot talk at somebody and expect them to listen. Here's a question I want to ask of you. Never been done on the radio before, but I figured this would be a good thing for us to do here at WBAI. Why do you listen to the Positive Mind? Not why, because I'm so great, because it's wonderful, but specifically, what are you listening for? Are you listening for the music? Are you listening for a joke? Are you listening for entertainment? Are you listening for information? Are you listening to have your heart touched? Are you listening to me penetrate somebody's inner being with one of my insights? What are you listening for? What is it that you listen for? What are you hoping happens during each session? Is this one of those sessions where something is happening? Or are there some radio shows where you say, yeah, not so good. The next one was great. That one was listening. A lot of people listen to the archives, and they go through, and I get every time somebody listens to an archive, I get some kind of a report. You know, millions of people listening to archives. They're listening to these shows over and over again around the world, and they're listening to them. What do you listen for? Is it about information? Well, make it personal for you, the listener today, the audience today. When you listen to the Positive Mind, what is it you go for? What is it you're hoping for? Is it energy? Think about it, okay? Think about that, because you think about some of the mastery of some of the people who broadcast. I mean, I listen to some of the people on BAI. Some of the voices are just wonderful. Maybe it's just the voice, you know? I can't tell you the number of times each week someone says, oh, you're Armand DeMille. I know who you are, you know, because they hear it on the radio or in a taxi cab or something like that. Oh, your voice is unmistakable. I don't mistake my voice. But actually, it did happen once, and I'll tell the story very quickly. I was driving in my car, and there was a truck next to me was playing an audio tape of one of my programs. Somehow, he had gotten a replay of it. No, it was a replay that they were doing on BAI. It was a rebroadcast. I was out of town, but I'm out of town, and he's listening to the rebroadcast. And I'm listening, and I hear this voice in this car next to me, in this truck next to me. And I say, boy, I know that voice. And it was mine. But I didn't recognize it at first. Armand DeMille here with the Positive Mind. Listen, we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, I'm going to be expecting your calls at 212-209-2900. I want to hear from you, my audience, the audience, WBAI audience, about the elements that you listen for. Let's take a survey. Let's find out. Let's see if we all listen for the same thing, or you all listen for the same thing. I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Something about an accent, my friends. Something about an accent when you listen to people. That was Adam and Evenings from one of the Buddha Bar albums. Do you ever listen to people speak with accents? It's always good to have an accent. I mean, if you speak with a French accent or an English accent, everybody pays attention. English accents, I don't know what it is about them. I have a friend, Tim, speaks with an English accent, and people just love to hear him speak. I have another friend who speaks with a French accent, and people just listen for the Frenchness of the French. There's something about it, you know, it just kind of turns you on. It's one of those spots in your ear. I mean, just listen to this one, for example. Here's an introduction by Sting. It's just one less than a minute, where he's introducing the work of some 15th century poet. But listen to what he has to say.
John Dowland was perhaps the first example of an archetype with which we've become very familiar, that of the alienated singer-songwriter, something that gives him an acutely modern resonance. He seems, from what little is known about him, to have been a complex and deeply troubled man, and yet he managed to weave the disappointments of his life together with the sensibilities of the period into exquisite and timeless songs. They are by no means all sad, but they distill the melancholy of the age with enough of the lively counterpoint and contrapuntal rhythms of dance music that it would be unfair to label Dowland, in today's reductive terminology, a depressive. You're certainly capable of irony and healthy self-deprecation in such titles as Semper Dowland, Semper Dolans, as well as joyous flights of musical...
What did he say? Who cares? Beautiful, right? This is Armand DeMille with you with Deposit of Mind. So listen, my friends, how to build friendships with good listening skills. Number one, listen. You know, we're gonna take your calls in just a minute. If you have a friend who wants to talk to you about something, it's listen. Ask your friend what's wrong and really listen to the answer. Let them vent their fears, frustrations, their other important feelings. Maintain eye contact. Show you're interested. Resist the urge to give advice. Let them get it out. It's either you or the nail salon. You know what I mean? Let it be you so that you could do that. Then what you might do that really feels good, reframe what you hear. Now, that means you summarize and repeat back your understanding of what they're saying so they know you're hearing them. And you focus on the emotions they might be feeling. So, for example, if your friend is talking about family problems, you might find yourself saying, it looks like things are getting pretty hostile. You sound like you're feeling hurt, if that's what the person is saying. Don't analyze. Whatever you do, don't ever analyze a friend. There is nothing worse than having your brain invaded. Let's say you are saying something, you know, I really feel sad about this thing that happened with my friend. You say, you're really angry. Don't do that. Don't shrink your friend's heads. It's not friendly. You may be right, but boy, does it feel wrong. Keep the focus on them rather than delving into a related story of your own. Avoid the stories about yourself. Focus on them. Help them brainstorm. Rather than giving advice which cuts off further expression, ask them about their feelings a little further. Ask them to give you a little more. Ask them if there's anything that you might be able to do to help them. Stay present. Some people feign listening, but they're really just waiting for their friend to stop talking so they can say whatever they want to say. Stay present. Give up. Surrender the time. You know, it's kind of a nice thing. Somebody says they need to talk to you. You want to give them a present. Give them your time. Trust the process. The process. It may feel a little scary to listen to feelings before delving into solutions. And hearing your friend talk about upset feelings might even make you feel powerless. You're usually offering a supportive ear and sitting out with your friend. But the thing to do is you got to trust the process that once they talk about it, it's going to be better. Now, here's one last thing you could do. If 20 minutes passed, and in the 20 minutes that passed, the person who was speaking did not feel better for speaking, but if they're getting hyped up, if they're getting excited, if they're getting angry, if they're going off an edge, then stop. 20 minutes. it's what you need. Beyond 20 minutes, if things are getting worse, then this holds true for practically all conversations between all couples. If you have a conversation with somebody about something, if your boyfriend says, I want to talk to you, and then you have a conversation, and 20 minutes later you're at each other's throats, forget it. In 20 minutes, things should have gotten better. If they haven't gotten better, then they weren't meant to get better in the first place. 212-209-2900, why do you listen to The Positive Mind? That's my question. I want to take some of your calls. 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Armand, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good.
Armand, I wonder if you've ever heard of Marshall Rosenberg and nonviolent communication.
Sure, I know them well.
Yeah, his work is just extraordinary.
Yep.
And I think it just speaks to what you're speaking about.
The whole thing, Marshall Rosenberg, by the way, enforce that, nonviolent communication and the whole nonviolent communication theory. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. I have found, however, that some of the people who are masters of nonviolent communication have a lot of residual anger sitting around because you kind of talk yourself out of the anger. You know, so it's like you learn how to communicate nonviolently, which I think is very valuable, but sometimes you need to do something with your own emotions. And there isn't all that room for it.
It was just interesting that you mentioned it because my wife just went up to an intensive. There was 14 people there, and one of the people was angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just interesting. They didn't have any room.
There's no room
for anger. At
the moment,
there wasn't room for, like he says, what do I do with this expression?
Sure.
And so it's just very interesting.
So nonviolent communication is a way of trying to train people to control themselves. You see, it's a way of trying to train people who tend to be critical, who tend to be nasty. You know, and people do that. Sometimes especially when you're in a relationship with somebody, you need to be trained to talk decently, especially if you've been married beyond 7 years. You know, you just start talking to each other in ways that aren't nice anymore.
So that aspect of really just having a certain consciousness and awareness really is the only thing that's really going to promote a healthy relationship.
Sure. Now, how about an answer to my question? Why do you listen to the Positive Mind?
Well, I've just got Eli Jackson Bear, just the various guests that you've had on through the years. I've just really enjoyed listening.
So you enjoy the guests a great deal and the fact that you get a lot of guests and you like the people who come on the show?
And then I love the dialogue that with various people. I could certainly relate to a lot of elements of my own life and stuff like that. So it's a culmination of all of that.
So if I have a dialogue with different people like you calling in,
mm-hmm.
And if you listen to that, you say, hey, you know, there's a piece of me in that.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Great. Thank you very much. What's your name?
Joe.
Joe, thanks for calling in.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you. 212. He's talking about nonviolent communication, by the way, which is the name of a book by Marshall Rosenberg. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me, Armand?
Yes, I can. I can hear you. You could talk up. Well, something wrong with that one call. 212-209-2900. We're taking your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Having a little trouble there with our phones, I think.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great.
Can you turn down your radio?
Sure, it's down.
It's all the way down?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm hearing everything turn down the radio. But I'm low right now. Am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air right now.
Okay, hi, Armand. How are you?
Hi there, what's your name?
My name is Fatima.
Fatima, hi.
I listen to you all the time. You have a wonderful show.
And what do you like about the show, Fatima? What is it that you listen for?
Something you said today that caused me to call you. I listen because I learned more about myself.
And how do you learn more about yourself?
Because of your engagement. You know, in conversations with people, with yourself. And I learn a lot from you. I learn to understand me better.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I just wanted to say thanks for that. It's wonderful.
Now, Fatima, that's the goal. Good. And the thing that you particularly like, you like the conversations I have, the dialogue I have, the stuff that I present, the people I talk to. Which of those do you like? How about the music? Do you
I love the music, too.
You love the music, too.
Yeah, your show is just wonderful. It's a wonderful show.
Well, I appreciate it. Trying to learn the elements, you know,
yeah,
that we're trying to do there. And I think you say something about learning about yourself is a wonderful thing.
When you talk, a lot of topics you touch on, it relates to me, people around me, and I get to understand how to deal with me and people around me. Like just now you said, when you were given a little bit of information of how to handle friends with advice and to listen instead of talk to them. You listen. I mean, all that great information.
Yeah, not in true.
When people learn these things, they learn how to get along better with people.
You got the idea, Fatima. Thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you for your show.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille taking your calls, doing a survey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand. I've never spoken to you before, and I've been listening to you for years.
Great. What's your name?
My name's Oza. And basically, why do I listen? If you're self-employed or freelancing and you need intelligent conversation in the day, this is a great place to be at 1 o'clock. You always, this conversation today is totally on point with an interaction I had with a group of people Sunday, because the issue about listening and being sincerely present in the moment and really wanting to listen, or just are you just waiting to say what you have to say kind of situation. And quite frankly, this program is, it's a blessing because everyone can't afford to pay, you know, $60 to $100 an hour to look into themselves, examine issues. And you give us a unique opportunity to do this in this forum. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I'm glad you say that, too, because, you know, there are, a lot of people have said the therapy that they have received, not just by listening to the program, but the archives. Now, there is a man, his name is Tom Gerby, he may not be listening right now, who put together my website with the archives, and now they're doing it at WBAI. But the archives are like 1,000 hours of lessons on human functioning. You could listen endlessly, and it cost you nothing.
And for the people who have a problem with contributing to BI for whatever reason, really acknowledge that even if you gave $25 or $75, that's like sitting down with one session. So it's just really great to be able to examine this, because really in this society, it's been a very middle and upper middle class privilege to have time for self-examination. Most people are involved in the act of surviving and getting to the next day economically.
Absolutely.
So this really offers a venue. And also I think we need to understand this. This is what everybody, it doesn't matter how much money you have, this whole society really has to make time to breathe and do some self-examination. So anyway, thank you for your program. And I think it's Roberta, because I like that when you, that time period when she came into your show and I'd never heard of her before and you introduced her and now she's doing her thing. So this is, I've been listening for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Now she's got her own program.
Yeah,
she's on BAI occasionally. It's great.
Really great. Thank you so much, Armand.
Sure, sure.
Bye.
Thank you for calling in, 212-209-2900. Well, see, there's an important thing. I remember I used to teach when I used to teach at university, and I taught at quite a few different colleges and universities. About my favorite course was an evening course at Hunter College called the Psychodynamics of Everyday Life. And I remember this course because it was people who were coming to night school, and they were mostly elders, and they wanted to learn, but it was in the 70s and 80s, you know, in the 80s. And they were such avid listeners. They wanted to learn. And they ate up the material and they asked questions. I remember that, as opposed to teaching students who had to take courses and they were forced, and they didn't want to really hear it. They wanted to be out drinking beer. So even though I would always find it was very important, it's my job to entertain the students. It is my job. I think every teacher must be an entertainer. You must get up there and you got to spark those kids' minds so that they'll want to listen to you. I think it's my job as a teacher to be on the air and bring to you what I know is hard to understand. Now, some of these concepts are very difficult. if I were to bring you a concept like the borderline personality, schizoid personality, multiple personality disorder, stuff that I'm trained in, that I've spent 30 years studying, I would bring it to a graduate course at a university, and we would spend 6 months with graduate students studying this issue. My job becomes to translate it into an English that you could understand. And if you get it, if you understand violence, if you understand compassion, if you understand listening, then you have made a more peaceful world. Because it's the people who don't understand who do the judgment and they do the most harm. So I love being able to do this with you. And I hope you do get it. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Heidi again, and I hope you don't mind me calling again so often.
No, hi, Heidi. Nice to hear from you.
Armand, I remember the very first time that I heard you on the air. I didn't even know WBAI existed. And I was in the parking lot waiting for an appointment, and this show that I heard, you were talking about the many different aspects of deceit or dishonesty, how we don't even realize the many different ways that we can find deceit or deceit happens. And I was so delighted. I was so excited to hear somebody talking about this because for all of my life, I felt myself to be a seeker of truth. So hearing this information was so exciting. And then as I continued to listen to your show, I understood you as being what I call a person who has found certain keys. I believe that there is a wisdom, and there are many keys that people find to come to this wisdom. And since I was a child, I've always looked out for the people who had a key, something that I didn't have, so that I could improve myself by observing, watching, listening to this person who had found this key, and I could strive for that betterment of self. So every day that I listen to you, it's for self-improvement, for education, it's to make myself a better person, and I really feel like I grow with your show.
It's nice. Thank you so much, Heidi. You know, the thing about noticing the keys, because I'm that kind of person, too. I listen for people who have got keys,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to hear them, too, because the lock is in my brain. And they've got the key, but it's not only one key. Everybody's got different keys.
Right, many different ones.
Many different keys. And to be open, to having your brain opened and expanded a little bit is a beautiful thing. So I really appreciate your being there, Heidi. But no, keep in mind, I couldn't broadcast without you.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
Okay,
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. You know, the other thing about this, my friends, is I receive and I really respond to suggestions for programs that you would like to hear. If you would like to hear, if you don't understand the human mind, now for example, let's say you know somebody who's got Alzheimer's disease or dementia. If you're in the middle of that, you want to hear programming about it. You want to know about it. And I'm going to do some special programming on that soon because I have dear friends who are dealing with parents who have that condition. This is the place. If you want to understand the human mind, if there is something you don't understand, of course, we did a program about the governor and the reaction to the governor. But why? Not because it was just a thrill to do it, but I want you to understand. I want you not just to judge. So if you have a suggestion, a topic, a thing you would like to understand, send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. Simple enough to remember, Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, @thepositivemind.com. And send me an email and say, here's what I really need help understanding. As if you were taking a course, as if you were going into the open center or somewhere and said, you know, I don't understand why people could be so heartless. So let me take a course on heartless people. Well, you send me your suggestions, and I will put it in the curriculum. Because we are the University of Psychology on the air. That's what we're doing. You can develop the curriculum yourself, and we will produce for you. Happy to do it. I've got my researchers standing by who say, what's the subject going to be? And I throw out the subject. We did listening today. And we go into it in depth just to find out. Hey, so this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I've got to be going, unfortunately. I would love to take more of your calls. Of course, you could send me all that information on email because we'd like to hear more. You could go to WBAI.org and we should play you some light music. You know, we should play you some light outro. Outro music is the music that we use to go out of the program. The music that I select during the program is always meant to be related to the theme of what I'm doing. I generally try to pick something that fits in with the theme of what I'm talking about, in case you haven't noticed. You might ask yourself, how does that fit in? It does. The outro music is usually meant to ease your spirit out the door. Sometimes it's a good piece of jazz. Sometimes it's something you remember from way back. Sometimes it's just a short while that Michael G. Hoskins has because he has a lot of announcements to make, you know? So it's always the way I choose my music is it's chosen intently at the beginning, in the middle, so that it chooses, it fits. And I figure that while you're listening to music, you digest the first part of the program. Then you get ready for the second part. And then the outro music is meant to lighten your spirit. This is Armand DeMille. We'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends.
This is a test of the emergency.